Let's turn to Romans and chapter 8. And I want to read the middle section of this chapter. So you know by now, I'm sure, that the chapter falls into four sections, verses 1 to 11, and then 12 to 17, and then 18 to 30, and then finally 31 to the end. Let's read from verse 18, and we'll read as far as verse 30. So Romans then, very familiar words to us all. Romans 8, 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The earnest expectation of creation is that of eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. This creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs, even to now. And not only, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why should one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." So, at the start of the year, we talked about developing six good habits. And those six good habits would build good Christian character. And the first of those habits, do you remember, was the habit of knowing ourselves. Last Sunday morning, we said that we should know four truths about ourselves. We are made in the image of God. We are sinful. We are those who are objects of the grace of God, and we are like Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God. And those four truths can shape our self-understanding. I said last Sunday that I'd like to today take the same subject of knowing yourself, and I want to see it from within the viewpoint of our hearts. So first of all then, let's turn to Psalm 139 that we read earlier in the service. And right at the end of the psalm, you have the psalmist's prayer. So up until verse 23, the psalmist has been reflecting on God's knowledge of him, how much God knows him. And then he makes this prayer: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So the psalmist comes to a God who knows him, and he asks God to show him the hidden secrets of his own heart. Those secrets that cause him anxieties. Those habits and emotions of his heart that are a mystery to him. Show me them, O God, is his prayer, so that, in the words of verse 24, he may then see anything in his heart that needs to be put right, and he can then walk in the way everlasting. So our theme this evening is your heart and mine, knowing it and coming to before a God and making our praise. So against that background then, let's turn to Romans 8, and we'll be a little bit more New Testament, if you like, in our thinking. I want us to read again two verses from Romans 8, and these are our text. So will you turn to verses 26 and 27. So Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so he who searches the hearts, there's an echo there of the psalm, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Knowing ourselves, knowing our hearts, and putting our hearts in the context of God's purposes. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you then that on such a terrible night in terms of the weather, when it would have been so easy to stay in, Lord, you've given us grace to come out of our homes and to make our way here so that we may worship you, our God, that we may sing your praises, and that we may hear your word. Lord, we thought this morning about happening to be in a certain place. And here we are this evening in your presence, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we ask you, our God, that you would speak to us through your word. We want things to be clear. Again, this morning we said that the preacher can say one thing, but then we hear something else completely. Lord, help us to hear your word clearly in our minds and in our hearts. So, Lord, we commend ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our subject is knowing ourselves, and we're going to focus on our hearts. I want to begin, though, because it's a bit of a dangerous subject. I want us to begin very clearly with the purposes of God. So if you've got Romans 8 open in front of you, do you see verses 29 and 30? We have these well-known and wonderful verses that explain to us what God's purpose is for every Christian. God is taking us to glory. Can you see that there at the end of verse 30? God's purpose is to take you from your deadness in your sins through a process of Christian life to the realms of glory. That's God's purpose for you. He takes hold of you when you are dead in your sins, and then by his grace, through your Christian life, God shapes you and molds you and prepares you for glory. Glory will be the new heavens, the new earth, and we shall be in the image of Jesus Christ. We shall be like Jesus, and we shall be like him forever and forever. So God takes hold of me and you, and then throughout our lives as Christians, he does this work of shaping us into the image of Jesus. Now, as God does this, the problem that I present to God is the problem of my heart. This heart that is a mystery to me. It was a mystery to the psalmist. And the psalmist could see that God knew him, but he had great difficulty knowing his own heart. What we see in the psalmist is true for us. We have great difficulty knowing our own hearts. Now, I've thought over the weeks about this particular sermon, and I've asked the question, should I try to explain what I mean by heart? And I've decided not to. It's a complicated subject, but I'm guessing and hoping that you've some idea about what I mean. The heart. We don't mean the physical organ that beats inside my chest. We mean something deeper, something about our character and our personality. This heart is a mystery to me. My heart is a mystery to me, and yours is a mystery to you. And the other thing I've thought of doing was a search on a theme. Let's have a look, I thought, at all the references to the word heart that you may find in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And again, I've decided not to do that. But when I was looking that up, there is such an emphasis on the heart in the Old and the New Testament. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is very interested in the workings of the human heart. So, your heart and mine. It's our greatest challenge to God. And what's the biggest problem to me about my heart? And some of you will know. The biggest problem we have is we don't know it. We live with it every day. The heart is uniquely me, yet I don't know it because my heart is a mystery. So again, go back to Psalm 139. The psalmist comes to God and he asks God to do what he can't. Search my heart. Know my heart. Know if there is any wickedness in my heart. Now, what the psalmist does know is that he's got lots of anxieties. He's got lots of cares and troubles. But he doesn't know the mysteries of his heart. Now, you can take that into the New Testament, and Jesus will talk about the heart and the heart being troubled and the anxieties of the heart. But it's still true that the heart is a mystery to us. So then I thought this, okay then, what is the great mystery of my heart? And it's lack of self-knowledge. It's really difficult to see the truth about my own heart. And that's why, when it comes to communion, there's that phrase, let a man examine himself. God is concerned, in his great purpose for me, changing me into the image of his son. God's concern is that I know my heart. So beneath the cross, in the Lord's table, examine yourself, look at your heart, is what the Apostle Paul writes. So let's sum it up then. You and I are part of God's great purpose. He has saved us, loved us, and he's going to change us into the image of Christ. But here's my problem. My problem is my heart. And why my heart is a problem is because I don't know it. I don't know, it's hard for me to see what my strengths are, but it's even more difficult to see what my weaknesses are, where my struggles lie, what I'm not very good at. It's so hard to see our own heart. So can I ask you then, look at yourself, what's your strengths and what's your weaknesses? Do you have a good handle on your own weaknesses? So you've gained some self-knowledge in relation to your own heart. That yes, I can see that I'm someone who is very prone to. And then you fill that in for yourself. You know your weaknesses. And then you see why the heart is such a problem is this. Sometimes our hearts will condemn us, and we feel guilt and shame. Sometimes our hearts will lie to us and tell us that others are to blame. The word that I would use when it comes to our own hearts is the word blind. We are blind to ourselves. We find it so difficult to see the truth about ourselves. So God's purpose is to shape me into the image of Jesus, but I'm someone who all the while, I don't know what my weaknesses may be. And then I may not quite see my strengths, and then my heart may be condemning me. And then there are other times when my heart is pointing the finger to someone else. And my heart can be quite bitter and envious and resentful. And my heart can be filled with fear and trepidation. My problem is my heart. So part of knowing ourselves is to take a moment and look at myself and ask the question, what's my strengths and where are my weaknesses? Some people look at themselves too much. So there are some who are always trawling through their own hearts, who spend every moment of every day in self-questioning and self-doubting and self-criticism. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do that. There are others who never look at themselves, who never take a moment to examine themselves. And such a person goes through life causing disasters everywhere because they have no understanding of themselves. So do you see the two extremes? And again, I want to ask you, where do you sit on this spectrum? Do you never look at your own heart? Or are you someone who constantly trawls through your own insides? There are dangers in both. And that's why God wants us to know our hearts. But God has told us when to do it. When should we take a moment to look honestly at ourselves? And we've already indicated that, haven't we? The moment is at the Lord's table. Jesus crucified, remembered by us at the Lord's table. He is the one God sent that we may be like him, that we may know glory. And so as we remember him, there is that moment of self-analysis. What are my weaknesses? What are my strengths? Is my heart condemning me or resenting things or holding bitterness? And we seek that moment of self-knowledge. Well, I want to just ask you then to take that moment and to think in relation to your own heart. Now, let's come back to Romans 8. And as you look at these two verses, 26 and 27, what Paul is telling us here is that God knows your heart. God searches your heart. So just like the psalmist who said, God, search me and know me, we have a God who is very interested in our hearts. He doesn't say that God's interested in what we're doing. He's interested in our hearts. And God searches our hearts. Now, as you look at these two verses, verse 26, first of all, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. What God knows then, he knows your weaknesses. God knows your struggles. He knows what it is in your heart that is a problem. So whatever fears, whatever temptations, whatever characteristics are true of you, God knows this. He knows the depths of the motives of the heart of each one of us. And so what I've been encouraging you to do is join with God in that knowledge. God already knows how you struggle. He already knows what your strengths are. He sees clearly where the weaknesses are, and he sees what I might be blind to. So God wants me to share with him in seeing the weaknesses that characterize me. God is inviting me to know what he knows about me. And sometimes that's the heart of our problem in our relationship to God. He knows, but I don't see. God knows my weaknesses, but I'm blind to them. He knows where I fall down. He knows where I go wrong. He knows how I hold on to things, but I don't see it. And because I don't see it, I then don't understand the way of righteousness. I don't understand the path he takes because he knows what I don't see in relation to my own heart. So God invites you through these verses to share in his knowledge of you. Or if you like, Psalm 139, search me, O God. Show me my weaknesses. Show me what's wrong in my heart. And then lead me in the way everlasting. In the time we've got left, I want to show you what to me is the most wonderful thing of all. If you link 26 and 27 together in Romans 8, this is what you get. God searches your heart. So God knows every weakness, every frailty. He knows every sharp edge, every character fault. God knows it. So I want you to imagine this hand. In this hand is God's knowledge of you. All that you don't see, perhaps others see it, but God certainly does. So here's God's knowledge of you. Then over here is God's purpose for you, to take you to glory, to make you like Christ. So here is God saying, here's Neil, and I know every weakness in the heart of Neil, and every flaw in his character. And I know everything that upsets him, and I see everything he does, and he's got no idea of why he's doing it. So here's God's knowledge. And then over here, God says, but he'll be like Jesus, and he's going to glory. Now, this is God. And Romans 8, if you like, can be thought of like this. How is God going to take me from here to here? How is God's purpose going to be achieved by taking someone with so many weaknesses and so many struggles? How will God take that person from this point to the realms of glory? How is God going to do it? Now, that's what I want you to be clear about tonight. Not hear something else now. Hear what I'm saying to you. This is Romans 8, how God takes someone who doesn't know his own heart and doesn't see his own weaknesses and is full of struggles and contradictions. How can God take that person, and how can God bring that person to the realms of glory? That's God's purpose. How does he do it? Well, we've answered a little bit. He wants us to have self-knowledge. He wants us to know our strengths and our weaknesses. So take that moment at the Lord's table to honestly look at yourself. Avoid all the other times. Do it before the Lord. And then this is where I want us to end. When we have that self-knowledge of our weaknesses, God then says to us this: how do I take you, Neil, from here to here? And the answer, can you see it in these two verses, 26 and 27? The answer is the person of the Holy Spirit. It is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that God is able to take me from all my weaknesses and all my struggles and all my failures and all my blindness. It is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that God can take me from there and bring me to glory. And this is how the Holy Spirit does it. First of all, verse 26. The Holy Spirit knows our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit sees our hearts. Our heart is no secret to him. So if I'm blind to my pride, if I'm blind to my arrogance, if I'm blind to my own stupidity and foolishness and intolerance, the Holy Spirit isn't blind. If I'm blind to my own guilt and fear, the Holy Spirit isn't blind because he sees my heart. So whatever weakness there is in your heart, the Holy Spirit sees it and knows it and feels it and shares in that weakness with you. So come back to my hands then. Here's me now with all my weaknesses and my mysterious heart, and present with me is the Holy Spirit, who knows what I do not. That's verse 26. Now, if we link that to verse 27, the Holy Spirit also knows the purpose of God. That God wants to get me to glory. So can you see, the Spirit of God knows two things. He knows my weaknesses, and he knows where God wants to take me to glory. Now, those two things the Holy Spirit puts together, knowledge of my weaknesses and the knowledge of God's purpose. And if you want to, think of it like this. The Holy Spirit marries together my weaknesses and God's purpose. The Holy Spirit brings these two things together. And what does the Holy Spirit then do? Verse 26. The Holy Spirit then prays for you. He offers intercession on your behalf. And the Holy Spirit prays for you in a way that you don't know, in a way that you can't hear, in a way that you can't experience, but nonetheless, the Holy Spirit prays. So, I want to end in this way. There are things in your heart that you don't know. There are hidden mysteries that explain why you're like you are, but you don't know them. And as long as you've been ignorant about them, the Holy Spirit has prayed for you. He knows those things that you don't see. He knows those things that are a mystery to you about yourself. And the Holy Spirit has been praying for you according to the purposes of God. So if you've battled with something, if you feel defeated by something, if you feel overwhelmed by something, the Holy Spirit has been praying about such things in your heart for as long as they've been there. And he has married those prayers to the purpose of God for you, that you should get to glory. And the second thing is this. We're afraid to look, aren't we? We're afraid to look at ourselves. We're afraid to admit the truth about us. We're afraid to admit that we may not be very nice. We're afraid to admit that we may be weak and afraid. There's so much that we don't want to see about ourselves. So through these verses, God says to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to look. And don't be afraid to admit. Don't hide from the truth about yourself. Because God says this, I know every weakness, I know every struggle, I know every fear, I know every sharp edge. And what I want you to know, says God, is what I do with that knowledge. And this is the most amazing thing of all. Because God has perfect knowledge of every human being. And the perfect knowledge that God has about the non-Christian, God will use to condemn. In the light of his law, God will apply the law to the non-Christian's heart. And God says, I know everything about your heart and how you have not kept the law. So the wonderful thing for the Christian is this. God knows us. Just like he knows the non-Christian, he knows us perfectly and completely. What does God do with that knowledge? God does not condemn. God will never condemn you. God does not criticize you. God does not point the finger at your weaknesses to find fault. The God who knows your heart and knows every weakness about you wants you to know that his Spirit is praying for you. Whatever that weakness, whether it's doubts in the Christian life, failures in your personal life, struggles in any way, God knows it, and he wants you to know that what he does with that knowledge, his Spirit prays for you. And his Spirit marries up your weakness with God's purpose. Praying about your weakness, the Spirit of God leads you in the purposes of God that you might come to glory. Well, let's turn to